Thankful for an opportunity to be in Guthrie. Appreciate seeing each one of you here. And the message and the burden that I have this morning would probably be on the lines of personal development. I'm thinking about this word trust that I have on the board, and I'm going to read you a couple definitions that I have to start with. One of them is to place confidence in, to rely on, to commit to the care of, in confidence. It means to be credulous, to be won to confidence. I'm not interested in talking about any kind of trust that you've established to maybe protect assets or anything like that, but I am interested in talking about your choice and what you trust today. I believe trust is an action, although there may be nothing about our body that's engaged in it. Many times it's in our minds. It's in our hearts. It's in the things that we allow our confidence to go out to. And everyone has their reasons for trusting or not trusting. And over the years, I've had people tell me, sometimes it's one-on-one, face-to-face. Sometimes it's been on the telephone. But I've had people make comments, I don't trust anyone. And I don't know if what that does for you, but that makes me feel very alarmed and distressed. And I look on someone that would tell me, I don't trust anyone, and I wonder what level of happiness the song that was sang earlier talked about being blessed. I wonder how blessed they feel when they don't trust anyone. It's distressing to me. I'll say it. This is as mild as I know how to say it. It's distressing to me when I come in contact with someone that says, I just don't trust anyone. Because, number one, that means they don't trust me. And they don't have anyone else, so I'm already at a disadvantage to build any kind of relationship with them. I'm at an advantage to win their confidence because they've just told me up front, I don't trust anyone. I believe we all recognize that it's impossible to build long-term, profitable relationships if we don't have trust involved. All right? And as I said there just a moment ago, I think anyone that would make the statement, I don't trust anyone, or I don't trust anything, I think they probably have some reasons in their mind that is justifiable. Maybe they've had some bad experiences, and maybe it's something that's been passed on from one generation to the next. Maybe you don't trust one gender or the other. Or maybe you don't trust people that come from a different country or whatever it is. Or you don't trust preachers or you don't trust used car salesmen or whatever it is. And there's probably something back there that in your mind is a justifiable reason of why I don't trust. So, trust is something that I have control over, though. Now, I want you to think about that. We live in a world that wants everything to fall in their lap to the point that they don't have to extend themselves to trust at all. Everything just works out like they think it ought to work out. So I'm asking you, is that really the way it ought to be? Or do you have some responsibility to extend trust? All right. I'll tell you a little secret. If you don't trust anyone, then your trust in God is in jeopardy too. If there is no one that you really trust, most likely you are skeptical about what God can do or will do as well. I'd like to turn to Psalms, the 37th Psalm. We'd like to start with the scripture here, and we're going to end here, Lord willing. Psalms 37, beginning in the third verse, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." To trust in the Lord is something that you're going to have to take the initiative to do. All right? I'm going to try to explain myself a little bit. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." You know, there's a lot of things to worry about. Whether you are worried about someone getting ahead of you financially or in the rank and file in the corporation, or there's a lot of things to worry about in life. And many times it's difficult for us to rest in the Lord or just trust. We're always conscious that if we are not actively pursuing or doing something, then it's probably not going to happen. So I want to deviate just a little bit and tell you that there's a way to be trustworthy. And for us that have spouses, you know, the best way to be trustworthy is to be accountable and to be willing to communicate everything that you possibly can to support accountability. We all have cell phones, most likely, and it's so easy to be accountable through that and let someone know, "I'm running behind. I've had something develop here. It's going to take me a few more minutes." We have to cultivate and practice an ability to know how to gauge and manage our time, but we can be trustworthy. All right? We can be trustworthy on a job. We can be trustworthy when it comes to interacting with our brothers and sisters in a congregation amongst a body of people. You know, when you say, "I'll make it happen," then make it happen. Sometimes it takes a stretch to make it happen. Sometimes it means that the day before, you spend extra hours getting things done so you know you're going to have, not just we'll see how it turns out. But there's a way to be trustworthy. But that doesn't mean someone will trust you. All right? Here's the point I want us to get. To trust is something that is ultimately in your hand. If you're going to trust someone, you can have the most trustworthy person you're interacting with. You can take a video of all of their actions. You can put a recorder on them or whatever you want to, and they can be 100% trustworthy. But you still have the choice of whether to trust them or not. So I want us to realize that not everything is going to play out to where we can see the end result, and we have to have some trust. You want something to really prosper in our relationships with one another, in our families, in our congregations and our us as a body of people, we have to be trustworthy and we have to cultivate an element of trust, being willing to trust. So the psalmist here gave us, it seems like, a command, and he said, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, I know as a parent, I've told my children at times, you need to be happy. And there'd been something they weren't very happy about. You need to straighten up. And whatever we would tell them, and sometimes they found that very difficult to do, because whatever it was that was causing them to be distressed and to be unhappy, for me just to give them the command didn't just make it happen instantaneously. So for us to trust the Lord is something that we have to realize. If we're in a place that we've been unwilling to trust, maybe you've been unwilling to trust anybody, and I promise you that if you're one of those people today that you don't feel like you can trust anybody, it's difficult for you to trust God too. All right? But when we cultivate a trust, it says here, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. There is prosperity that comes in our emotions and in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives. I'm not talking about money necessarily, but there's prosperity that comes when we cultivate trust. All right? So, in Judges, the ninth chapter, we'll go read a little story that was told in Judges. And this story is an account that was given by, the youngest son of Gideon. Gideon had, according to the scripture, had 70 sons by many wives. And he also had another son called Abimelech by a concubine. And leading up to the story I'm going to read, Abimelech capitalized on the people's desire to have a king. They had went to Gideon and asked him to be a king. And he said, no, the Lord can rule over you, not me. And so they Abimelech capitalized on that after Gideon was gone, and hired some ruthless men to go with him, and he killed all of his brothers, all except one. So after he had been made king, they came and talked to this youngest brother about it. And I'm going to read here in the 8th verse beginning. He said, this is a kind of a riddle that the youngest son of Gideon gave. He said, the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. Then, and the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over ye, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. So, you know, here's what I want us to get a hold of with this little story. The bramble sounds like a very unlikely candidate to be the king of the trees, doesn't it? But he's also a very ruthless component in the tree world to deal with. I don't like stickers. I don't like honey locusts and all those kind of trees that have things that poke me. But this bramble said, if you come and trust in my shadow, I'll be your king. But if you don't come, then there'll be something that comes out and devours us. So trust and coercion is not the same thing. And many times we reach out and trust something that is kind of like a bramble. You know, the world has many things that it wants us to trust in. It has, I'm thinking about trusting in man's abilities to help us with our bodies today. You know, if you trust that, there's some fire that can come out of that. Whatever you choose to trust, trusting is a responsible thing. Whatever you choose to trust, you know that you're giving that thing power over you. And if you start down the path of trusting man, did you know that one thing will lead to something else? And there's side effects and there's consequences that come involved in that. And as time goes on, you'll wish that you hadn't have trusted in a bramble. You'll wish that you'd made a different decision. Satan will not only take control in that area, but he will demand trust if you give him any little bit of area. If you put a little bit of trust in his devices, his plan to make you successful, it will put you in a bondage that's difficult to get loose from. Trust that is demanded, like the bramble said, come and trust me. If you don't, fire is going to come out. And I would a lot rather the fire burn the blackberry bushes in my pasture than a nice big tree that I have. But he said, if you don't trust me, there will be a fire that comes out and devours the cedars of Lebanon. We know that was a valuable asset. When we choose to trust, we are giving that power over ourselves and that control to whatever entity that might be. And that level of power can be like bondage or slavery. But it's by choice. We chose to trust that thing. We chose to put our trust in something, and it now is controlling us. I believe that we should trust, and we should cultivate it with trustworthy entities, with one another and with our God. I'd like to go to Exodus to notice another passage of Scripture here in Exodus, the 21st chapter. Beginning in verse 1, we have an account here of some of the old law. He says, "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." That's a difficult choice, wouldn't it be? It would be for me. This is servitude by choice. Although it's very difficult to envision in our minds. Many factors come into play when we're choosing to give something this level of control or power over us, ourselves. I think many times that don't realize the things that the enemy wants us to imbibe in our lives, and thereby he gets control over us. We're kind of taken unawares by his devices sometimes. But sometimes we make these decisions consciously for the good. And I want us to stop and think here just a minute. I have noticed since I've been here, when I'm sitting in the pews and someone is standing behind this desk, if I take my glasses off, I know who it is, but I can't really tell. I their eyes and their features on their face get a little fuzzy. Didn't used to be that way. And when I put my glasses back on, everything is nice and clear. But I remember a time in my life as a young person, like many of you young people that's here, and I looked out to what the future might hold. And it was kind of fuzzy like that. I didn't know what the future would hold. And I feel like that all of us have our areas of insecurity and those kind of things. And I felt insecure. And I looked out in the future wondering where I'd be. I remember thinking that the year 2000, I would be 35 that year. Boy, that would be I would be kind of old. And I remember looking out, wonder if time is going to last any longer than that. And now that's ancient history to some of you. But as I looked out in the future, I wondered what life would hold. And I began to consider my options and the things that presented themselves. And you know, I got a lot of counsel from my counselors at school. I got counsel from my peers. Some of them were my peers amongst the body of saints about how to plan my life. I got suggestions from older people and younger people and all of those kind of things. And some of it was helpful. It was good. And some of it didn't really, there was something about it that made me apprehensive. And I remember now as I look back, you know, when I look back over my life from this vantage point, and see those last 40 years or almost that much, I realized that there was many things that really worked out for my good because I was willing to trust. I was willing to trust God for my future. There were things that I was encouraged to take charge and take a initiative that I was apprehensive because of the influences I would be subjecting myself to. My message today is not against education, but one of those things was the line of education and the career path that I felt I was being pushed down. And I was apprehensive not because I didn't think I could do those things, but because I was afraid that I was not spiritually sound enough to keep my integrity. And I chose to trust God for my future. And I want to tell you today, when I look back, it's like putting my glasses on today. I can see clearly that God has blessed my life because I was willing to trust Him. All right? It was very apprehensive and it was fuzzy at that time, but it was a difficult decision for me to make. I remember losing, I went as far as paying a, I don't know what you call it, a registration fee, or anyway, I was signed up to go. and had put my own money down for it to go to this school. And I remember wrestling with the Lord and recognizing that I didn't feel confident that I could keep my salvation and move way off to this place that offered the education that I was going to pursue. And I made that decision. I lost my money. I don't remember exactly how much it was. But, you know, now when I look back, you know, I can say I wished I would have been strong enough because maybe that could have helped me in life. But I'm real thankful that the Lord kept me saved most of all. And I remember another time in my life when we was right down to a crossroads of making a decision about whether we were going to pursue some medical intervention on behalf of our family or not. And I chose to trust God completely in that particular situation. And I went down and I told the person that I needed to give the answer to. I said, I just can't do this. I can't do it. My trust is in something different than what you're offering. I can't do this. And I remember he had his back to me and he turned his chair around and looked me in the eye and he said, I think you're making a mistake. You know, I want you to know, making the choice to trust is not always easy. It's not always something that we can see the end result and we say, well, that's a no-brainer. You know, sure, I'll trust this because the results are guaranteed. You know, my results were not guaranteed in either one of those choices that I made. But I want you to know that now when I look back, I'm thankful the Lord helped me to make those choices, although they were very difficult. I don't want to minimize the value and the pressure that's put on us to trust. I know it's scary. It can be scary to trust. And you know, it can be scary to trust another individual. I know what it's like to do everything that I think is possible to earn someone's trust, and they still didn't. I know what that's like. Yeah. And I know that it's something I can't change. We are in control of what we trust and who we trust. So, this situation that I read to you here in Exodus about the man that found himself in the place that he's got a spouse and children now. And the option is I can go free, or if I choose to stay, then they're going to bore a hole in my ear. And it's going to be a sign for anybody that I meet that I'm a lifetime servant. I'm forfeiting my opportunity. I'm forfeiting my choice to do what I want to do. I'm trusting my future into something that's going to micromanage me. Remember, this kind of thing is a choice. I told you there was reasons for us to make difficult choices, to give something the power and control over our life, to trust something. There's a reason to trust God for your future. There's a reason to trust God for your body. There's a reason to trust God for your choice in a spouse, in a companion. There's a reason for that. And I want to tell you that God is faithful. And He will not let anything come on us that we're not able to bear with His help. Sometimes we feel like it's more than we can bear. But I want us to notice some words of a song, number 55 in our book. It says, in the first verse, the second part of the first verse, it says, with omnipotent love is my poor nature bound, and this bondage to love sets me perfectly free. It's not a paradox here. It's a choice to love the Lord with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your strength. It's a choice that we made to trust God and to put our lives in His control. You know, we all know that the world today has many individuals with lots of baggage. And sometimes they come to services and maybe someone here has a lot of baggage from the past and hurts and abuse and all of those kind of things. But I want to tell you, the Lord is able to help us with all of those things. And I believe there's healing in Jesus. But you know, if we don't trust the Lord, we'll end up with some of that kind of baggage. We'll end up with heartaches. We'll end up with devastation in our life. And we're asking God to help us out of that. Next, another verse says, where does it say? In the serfdom of love, to so sweeten the rod that its touch maketh rivers of honey to flow. All right. What's that, honey? Yeah, the fourth. Okay, I'm sorry. The last part of the fourth verse says, the serfdom of love to sweeten the rod that its touch maketh rivers of honey to flow. Honey is kind of a precious little commodity that don't come in large quantities many times. But to think of having an abundance of honey is feels like wealth sometimes. And, you know, we want rivers of honey and sweetness in our life. And, you know, to have sweetness, we're going to have to cultivate an attitude and a willingness to trust. I believe that. It's a choice to trust God and to live for Him. And when His Spirit deals with us, when He's beginning to talk to us and asking us to trust Him and to follow His path and to not maybe take the risky moves that the enemy presents to us, it can be pretty challenging. You know, there's a man in the New Testament over in Acts, the 24th chapter, that made a different choice. And I don't want to just bring that to our attention in Acts 24. And I believe it's verse 25. He says, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix came to the place that he was trembling. He knew what Paul was telling him, but he was unwilling to trust him. He was unwilling to trust the Lord. He was unwilling. You know, I wonder what flashed in front of Felix's mind. His career, maybe his position in the government, his place of authority, the recognition he had among his peers. I wonder if all of that flashed through his mind and said, "You know, I just can't put my life into that kind of situation. I can't do that." He said, "Paul, you just go." I can't make that decision right now. If I change my mind, I'll call you back. In the last verse of this chapter, it says, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to shew the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. We know that 2 years later, he was still unwilling to trust God. He was unwilling to make a change. And, you know, we can let years go by unwilling to make the choice. You might know what's right. You might know what the truth. You might know that God has the answer for your life. You might know that that's the right thing and what you ought to do. But if you're unwilling to make the choice to trust God with your soul, you know, you're going to be like Felix. Where's Felix today? Anybody know? I don't profess to know, but it seems to be indicative that he never made the choice. That he never trusted God. That he never put his allegiance, and that was his choice. And I don't want any of us here today to go out of this life and not be willing to come to the place to make the decision. Is God trustworthy? What do you think? I think he is. I believe he is. I believe he is to the point that I have trusted him for things that other people have said. That looks like foolishness to me. I remember another time that one of our sons was sick. And somebody at work told me, said, I told him, I said, it was on my mind so much I couldn't hardly perform my task. And I told him, I said, I'm just going to have to take the day off. And he knew that my son was not well. And he said, so are you going home to pray? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, well, you know, if things don't change, something needs to be done. And, you know, that's the kind of pressures we can be under sometimes when we choose to trust. But the Lord delivered him. The Lord came to our rescue. Had a testimony last night of that too. You know, whether we choose a path for the sake of our children, or we choose a path for the sake of our spouse, or we choose a path to follow God's plan to give us a margin of safety for our spirits. You know, it can be a difficult choice to trust God for those things. And I realize that. I'm not a novice. I know, I've been there and made some of those choices that others looked on and said, I think you're wasting your abilities. I think you're wasting your opportunities. I think you're wasting, you're making the wrong decision. But I found, as I look back now, I can see how the Lord has blessed because I was willing to trust Him and put my confidence in Him. I'd like to turn to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. My children used to always know that something was up when we would turn to Proverbs for family worship, and especially read, my son, forget not my law. But notice what it says here. But let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of the Lord, sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. I know there are many incredibly sharp minds here today. And I know how difficult it is for you to trust God sometimes. When you think you know what ought to be done, you think you know what has to happen, and to back off and say, I'm going to trust God to work this out. I know that's incredibly difficult. And we are bombarded all around us with the whole concept that trusting God for anything is absurd. That's what's pounded into us from all directions. But the writer here in Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Not on just Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and I hope you're there all three times. But all thy ways Lord, help us to know how to acknowledge Him and trust Him. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll be something that'll give you strength for the future. I believe that places that I've trusted God in the past and He has proved Himself will be health to my bones for the future. And it'll be the same for you. But if we don't cultivate and actively make the decision to trust Him, then it's kind of like, what do they call that stuff? Osteoporosis? You know what that is, don't you? It's where your bones are deteriorating and there's no strength there. One little stumble and you've got a break. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to undermine our trust and our confidence. And you've got a choice. I wonder, we heard earlier about how the scenery has changed. There's been many of the saints that's went on to their reward. And I'm thankful for all of those that have taken the places of those that's gone on. But you know, if we don't choose to trust the Lord in all facets of our life like they did, we're going to get weak. Our bone structure is going to deteriorate. I'm very fortunate. As far as I know, the only thing I've ever broken in my life is a big toe. But I've had some really hard licks in my life, some bruises and all. But I feel like at this point my bones are still in pretty good shape. But if I don't maintain a level of activity and a diet that supports that, my bones will get weak too. So being willing and learning to trust, we can look at all the statistics. Our world is obsessed with that, you know. They can take statistics and prove a lot of things to us, but they can also give us a lot of confusion. And if we start trying to amass statistics about what we ought to do and what we don't want to do and all of that, instead of cultivating an attitude of trust, then that confidence in God is going to go the same way that many has went when they say, I don't trust anybody. You know how lonely that is? I'm glad I've got some people I can trust. I can trust some people to be there for me. I can trust them to do what they say they're going to do. I'd like to go to another scripture. And maybe before I do, I'll just say that the writer in Proverbs here was giving us advice. All right? And the best advice that I can give you is that we would choose to trust God with our lives. That we'd choose to give Him the level of power and control in our life. You know, I can't imagine what it would be like to be faced with that choice of whether I wanted to keep my family with me or me stay with my family or be able to go free. Because I'm going to tell you, the pursuit of happiness as far as occupation, that's real important to me. To be able to go and work with my own hands and do my own, that's really, really important to me. But to make the choice that I would forfeit that for the sake of my family, that'd be difficult. And it says here, or the advice here is to choose to trust the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your life, everything that's within you. Don't be like Felix and go out of this world not ever willing to make that decision. I would like to turn to Joshua now, the 24th chapter. We all know the setting here. And what is a very common scripture. Joshua was talking to the people and wanted them to make a decision. And he told them in 24 and 15, he said, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's a conscious decision. So it's going to be in your hands. It's going to be in your hands, not just at the end of this service, but throughout the rest of your life. What are you going to choose to do? Are you going to choose to trust? Are you going to start pulling statistics of how many people failed and how many people succeeded? And are you going to amass yourself with information that could lead you astray and could deteriorate your trust? Or are you going to trust? Ultimately, we have to make that choice. What am I going to do? In Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, I believe it's Moses here speaking to the people. In the 19th verse, he says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." You know, your decision to choose to trust God for your life will greatly impact the next generation. I know that my choices to trust God for my life, and not just in occupations, and not just my body, but choosing to trust the Lord for my spouse and ask Him for direction. Did He give me a divine revelation of which one I was going to? No, He didn't do that. But I'm going to tell you that I've trusted God to help me make the right choice. I trusted Him in, you know how frightening it is to pull up stakes and move from one place to another and start over? Some of you know what that's like. It can be distressing. And it's one of those things that's fuzzy out there and you can't see very clearly. But when we choose to trust God, many times the things open up just in time. Just in time, one opportunity after another opens up. But would it have happened if I chose not to trust? You know, I know those decisions that I made to trust God for the years that were future then and our history now have greatly impacted my children. And the desire is they would impact them in the right manner. Isn't that what you want? And if you choose not to trust God for your life, it's going to impact the next generation too. In Deuteronomy 30 and 19, we read there, he said, "Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live." So I want to go back to Psalms, the 37th chapter, where we started. And notice what the psalmist said. We said it sounded kind of like a command. And it is something that you're going to have to take the initiative to either do or to not do. In 37 and 3 beginning, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land." In what land? In the land that's inhabited by God. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." I want security. I'm not a very big risk taker, just naturally speaking, and I like for things to be pretty secure. So it's important for me to know that there's going to be food, and there's going to be shelter, and there's going to be a sense of well-being for the future. And I want to make the decisions that'll help me get there and help that to happen in my life. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. So what are you wanting in life besides happiness? Isn't that what we all want? If we want happiness, and the enemy wants to tell you, you can't trust God for that, I'm going to tell you that he's wrong. You can trust the Lord. You can trust him with your happiness, with your future. You can trust him to help you make the right decisions. Maybe some of you get a vision of what to do next. I can't say that I have, but I'll tell you that one step at a time, the Lord has led me to the point I am at now in life. And I want you to know that trusting God for all facets of our life is the right thing to do, but it's a decision that you have to make. God is trustworthy. I believe that. He's the same today as he was in my parents' generation, in Brother Stephen's generation. He's the same God that's been there since the beginning of time, and he'll be there for us. But it's up to me to make the decision, I'm going to trust him or I'm not. And I know that sometimes you're going to be faced with a very scary proposition, knowing that if I choose to trust God, a lot of people may say, I think that's the wrong choice. You're going to be sorry. I face that. And you very likely will too, but I want you to know that the blessing of knowing that you trusted God is worth it. You pray for me.